Our next presenter, as I mentioned early on, was the Vice President of Industry up until last year. And if Tomiko is the most energetic woman I've ever met, I think he's the most energetic man I've ever met. So hold on to your seats.
That's a terrible way to set me up. That's not good. But being only 33 years old, I have a lot of energy. Yes, that's true. I'm just kidding. I find it very humbling to be able to speak about the things that I've done in my life, because I've had lots of failures, but it's also opened up lots of doors for me along the way. And so I was a hockey player, and so I enjoyed hockey. And really, I thought I'd like to be in the NHL, making millions of dollars chasing a black puck around ice. But that didn't work out. I had the education was in the background. So at one point in time, I had to decide, you know what? I think I better go to school, because I better get smarter, because I'm not going to be able to chase a puck for millions of dollars. Even though some of the kids that I've coached are in the NHL and they're making $3 or $4 million at 19 years old. It's very difficult to handle. Anyway, for me, I did probably what a number of you are probably doing. You go through your science thing, you maybe take a look at medical school, you look at some of the other sciences, and then you make a decision on where you want to go. For me, one of my, I'll go from the bottom upwards, my undergraduate was at a small liberal arts school in New Brunswick, Canada. It's called Mount Allison. Now, it is one of the number one or number two universities in the country these days. I don't think it was when I went there. But yeah, maybe it's because I went there, and that was number one. That's what it is. No, it was very general, but my undergraduate was mostly on animal physiology and biochemistry. I loved it. Didn't do well in it, but I loved it. My minor was really kind of in plant sciences and plant hormones. And one summer, I started working with some guys ripping apart wheat plants and cereals, and I'll tell you a little bit about that. And then that kind of set me off on the plant science thing, and I met a number of people through that, and it kept me going. My master's was in cereal, integrated cereal crop production, again on hormones, sponsored by industry, at Dalhousie University in Nova Scotia, Canada. Then I went off and did the French thing. I went to Quebec City, at Laval University in Quebec City, and did horticulture there, looking at protected crops for about 3 or 4 years. And then I stayed on at the university working as a postdoc kind of research fellow, professional, they called them, position for about 3 years. Then the money dried up. And when the money dries up, you start sending out letters. And I did the same thing, and I didn't get much of a response. But a headhunter called me, it was the same kind of thing, and said, do you want to go to work for this seaweed company in Nova Scotia? Well, part of my undergraduate, maybe four courses, were in marine biology. And so when I sat down for the interview, they said, do you know about marine biology? I said, yes. Do you know about plant hormones? I said, yes. Can you help us set up a research program on using seaweeds in agriculture? I said, oh, yeah. And so it went from there. My master's, as I said, was on plant growth regulators. I'm going to go quick. I've got lots of slides. We did a lot of work on how to make crops short. This introduced me to people also at the Plant Growth Regulation Society of America, and I joined them later on and had a lot of fun with them. What they're trying to do in these situations is keep crops short, then make them short. The stems are thicker, the stems are stronger, and enduring the wind, you get their anti-lodging agents, the cereals don't blow over, so you're able to harvest the crop. It was a big thing, all paid for by industry. And of course, in the integrated management, we also looked at hormones, we also looked at fertilizers, we also looked at fungicides, because they were integrated programs. But one of the things that we did, we looked at where sugars went in the plant. So I used carbon-14 modeling, all the radiation work. We'd feed the leaves radioactive carbon dioxide. It would go different places in the plant. We'd chop the plant up, put them in an acetylation counter, and see where the sugars, where the energy was going in the plant. But we also did the same thing with carbon-11. We took a truck up to Montreal. We generated carbon-11, which breaks down in 9 minutes. And it gives off some high-energy radiation for a very short period of time. We can detect it with Geiger counters. So you can feed a leaf, put a Geiger counter at the top of the plant, a Geiger counter at the bottom of the plant, and see where the sugars are going in the plant. And you can use the same plant the next day. Kind of fun stuff. Very toy-oriented, Lego-oriented kind of stuff. Don't laugh at my red sweatpants. I think I could probably still find them if they're in the drawer somewhere. But on the left side, you can see the Geiger counters showing the sugars going by the Geiger counters or not going by the Geiger counters. And we could change the pattern of the sugar distribution with different stresses or with different hormones, things like that. So it was a lot of fun, that biochemistry. That led to some work. I was in agronomy. I changed completely and went into horticulture. I applied for a big scholarship to go to England to study over there. Didn't get it. Applied for a second one to go to England. Didn't get it. The third one, though, I got an offer from a university in Quebec called Laval, and they said, we need somebody to come help us do some work on greenhouse vegetables. Would you mind coming up? I said, it's in French, right? They said, yeah. I said, well, I didn't do very well in French in high school, but I said, what the hell? And so I went up there. I got immersion courses. First thing I did was found a baseball team to play on, so they were teaching me all the swear words. I was learning all about the French in my physiology courses. I had cross-referencing with my English at the same time. I was making a little bit, you're making $12,000 a year is what I was making. And so I made an extra $1,000 a year doing translations. As the only English guy there, I was getting bombarded. And that taught me all about the science, too. So my aptitude in science was getting up and up and up, and I was learning all kinds in my immersion courses and my regular courses, and of course the baseball. It was great. But the research there, all again, was paid for by industry. We had a great relationship with industry. If you're going to go to Quebec, bring a jacket, a big one, and bring a shovel, because there's lots of snow. Anyway, we did a lot of work on greenhouse tomatoes, lettuce, cucumbers, alstroemeria flowers. That's me about 20 pounds ago. We did real well with that poster. I even won the paper of the year back in 1995 with the Canadian Journal of Plant Science. It was great. It was the best $25 I ever won in my life. But one of the things we did too, we were trying to modify nutrient solutions based on the environment inside the greenhouse. So we would increase the electrical conductivity or decrease it based on the environment in the greenhouse. It was a lot of fun, and it gave me a lot of opportunity to stay in Quebec. We did a lot of work on water potential in the soil, setting irrigation standards and protocols. And one of the things that was really cool was we took this information that was in our little greenhouse cubicles, our divided greenhouses, and we were able to transfer this to a 3-hectare greenhouse complex about 40 miles away. This was big. This was huge. This is about a $3 or $4 million operation. And so it was really exciting to see your science being applied. And it is to this very day. It's still being used there. These guys are big. They use carbon dioxide injection. They use supplemental lighting. And they're still growing. Well, they were growing tomatoes not too long ago, but it's a very competitive field. It also introduced us to other large-scale greenhouses. This is a big germination chamber for a lettuce grower. These lettuce guys grow in large ponds, very almost factory food oriented, where they're on floats, they push them to the other end of the greenhouse. By the time they get to the other end of the greenhouse, they're bigger, they fall into a trough, they pull them out, put them in a bag, and send them off. These guys would supply about 25% of the lettuce to eastern Canada, so it was nice to have that in our salads. Then I was offered a position to stay at Laval and supervise some graduate students and supervise some research projects. So I stayed there as kind of a person that looked at paper sludges and different composts for ornamental horticulture. These are some of the guys I worked with. Well, the guy on the far right, who was the youngest guy, is an associate professor at Laval these days. So it's kind of fun to watch these guys grow up. And I'm only 33, so in that photograph, he was only 7. So. But you could see we were playing around with fertility management and different composts, playing around with like all these different ornamental crops and turf grasses. It was a lot of fun, and we just really produced a couple of papers. We did this kind of stuff. It gave us a lot of information to how to revegetate, understand the fertility. So then we could revegetate abandoned mines and abandoned sand pits. This is another one with different types of legumes and different kinds of ornamentals. It really gave us a wide range of experience. And remember, I went from agronomy to horticulture. Now I'm almost into ornamental horticulture, right? Okay. When I did the interview in 1995 for the seaweed company, I knew all about plant hormones. I knew about the marine biology. And I had all kinds of a wide range of experience in agriculture. Really, I had a wide range because I was having so much fun with the people I was with, I really didn't give a rat's patootie what I studied, because I was having fun doing it. And I was I was curious, and I was open-minded, and I loved baseball, and I loved hockey, and I was just having a lot of fun. So when I walked into this, they offered me like $50,000 a year. I said, are you kidding me? I said, I can afford the Curly Craft dinner now, not just the regular stuff. It was really quite something. And so when you go from $12,000 to $32,000 with the university that I was with to $50,000, it's like I won the lottery. And if you live on $12,000 a year, you're not paying any taxes because you're not making enough money to pay any taxes. And it really was something to... So I could live on nothing. So I put lots of money into our what we call our RSPs, your 401ks. I put lots of money into that. But I'm still a long way from the $4 million a year that the hockey players are making in the NHL. We did a lot of work on seaweeds. The seaweed company I'm with, we make animal feeds. We make seaweeds for face creams. Seaweed. We grow some seaweeds for food. But the big division of our company is in plant science. We grow seaweeds as biostimulants and fertilizers in plant science. And my job is really to manage a number of projects that find out how to best use those active ingredients in the seaweeds. We've been ripping them apart, putting them back together, mixing them with different things to find out solutions-based ag. You got a problem, we want to try and find a solution for it in one way or another. Big-time operation in terms of research on how to harvest seaweed the proper way to make sure we're not taking too much. We want to leave some behind so we can harvest it the next year. It's managed, we harvest it right from the coastline. But our plant science division is a service division. We're really there to help our sales and marketing people with all the technical information. As D'Amico said, we're trying to boil it down. As Fred mentioned, we're trying to take all this the more complicated science and make it into a very concise ball so that people can digest it in different realms around the world, some of our clients. I work very closely with the sales and marketing to review all that technical information. And over the last 15 years, we've seen a real shift in that our clients aren't asking for the sales and marketing people anymore. They're asking for the people that know the science. And so you need to be able to communicate with them. You got to have the confidence, you got to have the sincerity, and you got to be able to go in there and talk to your clients. And it's a big responsibility, and it's a lot of fun because it takes you all over the world. These are some of the people we work with, Dole, Agriculture Canada, USDA, all the way down to universities, government groups. This is just a few of the people that we're working with. I can't put them all on there, but you can see it gives me some frequent flyer miles, but it really allows us to see the world and see where your food comes from, because sometimes kids don't know where your food comes from. The company's really cool. They allow us to publish research to a certain extent. Some things they want to keep under wraps. And we take this science. We have it peer-reviewed. So we lay it out there for you guys to beat up on and tell us what we're doing right, tell us what we're doing wrong, so we can fix things and move forward so we have confidence in the science. At the same time, we take all of the science, we consolidate it, we put this all on one sheet that you can take to the bathroom and you can read it in 2 minutes or less. That's marketing. You want to make sure your message is boiled down. And so we got to be able to speak short, and we also got to be able to go big. If you need to go long, you got to be able to go long. Just came back from Edmonton. We won paper of the year again. This is great. So that's $50, right? No, the guy that wrote this paper, I'm an author on it, but the guy that wrote this paper is from Bangladesh. Came over and did his postdoc with us in cooperation with Agriculture Canada, looking at soil microbes in strawberries. Wonderful project. And we just spent a couple days in Edmonton. I'd never been to Edmonton. Their summer lasts about 3 weeks. Another thing, get involved in volunteerism. I scaled the ranks of the Plant Growth Regulation Society. They do a lot of work with hormones and plant growth regulators, how to make crops grow bigger, how to make crops grow shorter. A very fun group, and it improves your network amazingly. When I started getting involved with the ASHS, I won a travel scholarship in 1992 for $500, I think it was, and I've been coming back ever since. And so I came back, and I've been, you know, you moderate, you get involved in all of these different committees that you get, that they might ask you to get involved with. You work with crazy people like Angela, or then, you know, we get to put together workshops like this. And this is the first time I've spoken of this. This is great. I love to be able to invite people and showcase what you do. allowed to be able to showcase what we do in horticulture. At the same time, a couple of years ago, one of our breakfast speakers was David Murdoch from Dole. Oh my goodness, were you there for that one? Oh my goodness, he's 95 years old, and he's electrifying. And he said, a very eccentric individual, he said, "I want to know what you know. Tell me what you know. I want to know. I got a long flight to Asia tomorrow, and I want all your research articles so I can read them on the way." He said, "I'm not going to sleep. I want to go." And by the way, he said, "Don't eat that bacon." He said, "I want to live to be 120 because I don't." You know, great. Another thing, being with the ASHS, I even got to walk your halls of Congress. You know, I have a bit of an irreverence about it because, number one, I'm from Canada. So, but number two, my grandmother was a senator in Canada. So I've had a lot of, we had a lot of political discussions around our Thanksgiving table as well as I do down here. But it was a lot of fun to see, to mix and mingle with people to discuss the Farm Bill. You know, it's $500 million or something like that towards specialty crop research. I mean, it was fun to be able to talk to these guys about how the politicians need to present how they spend their money to their constituents. So they need your input to tell the constituents why it's in their best interest to do research on ag crops, food security, and things like that. Countries where I've gone in the world, where we've established technical relationships, I've been to about 41, 42 countries. I've left my digestive system in some of them. It's a lot of fun to interact with different university groups, government groups, and industries in different countries. It really is a lot of fun. Especially les provinces, c'est pas mal bon de vous. But the thing is, you got to be open-minded to this and have fun with it. Have fun with it. So my parting words, and I got a bunch of slides after that, just pictures of some of the places I've been. My parting words that seems to work for me. Okay, you've got a lot of great stuff from Tomiko and Rakesh and Angela and Fred and Steve. Great advice on the mentorship, on the networking, on the communication, keeping an open mind. This is the fun stuff, guys. Have fun with it. And I know you're not making squat right now, but it will come for you. Don't worry. Keep learning. Take courses, modules, things online, current events, cultures. Don't say no. If people ask you to get involved in something, say yes. When we went to Quebec City, my French was crap. But people said, "Jeff, you want to come to a party Friday night?" "Yes." "You don't even know where it is." "Doesn't matter, I'm coming." So we would go so we would be able to converse. And it was difficult for the first 6 months or maybe 12 months. And I didn't get slapped. I mean, you know, you're learning how to speak and learning the language. And it was really quite something to be there with your heart on your sleeve, completely open-minded to learn and make new friends. Learn another language. I did the French. Every Monday night I was taking French. So I thought, you know what? I'm done with French. I'm going to take some Spanish. I got some Spanish friends. The rules are the same. It took about maybe 2 years. And wow, as soon as I joined Acadian Seapoints, they said, "How would you like to go down and give technical presentations in Spanish?" I said, "Okay, I'll do it." And I'm kind of an introvert. And so so going down there and making some of these presentations, there were a lot of giggles. But I didn't care. I had no shame. I just went and I did it. It's the same thing. Hey, it's the same thing for the Chinese students that come here. They got to learn English too, right? You're learning the expressions. People are talking fast like me. You're learning different words. It's great. And come see me later. I'll teach you some French swear words. Volunteer in and out of your profession. Volunteer. I'm heavy into the sports. I think it's a big thing for kids to keep them off the streets and keep them busy. It was great for my kids. In your profession, it's great for networking. It's wonderful to develop your scientific aptitude. Have confidence. Someone told me the other day, they were vice president at a university, and they said, if someone asks you to do the job, say yes. Whatever it is, yes, because you can do it. If they can do it, you can do it. If I can learn French at 25, you can, and all you guys can do it for sure. Be collegial. As Fred mentioned, you want to be a good teammate, share ideas, be able to debate things, but be open-minded. I can be pretty blunt sometimes, but I always thought I was pretty open-minded, except with my mother. But that's technical or scientific. Some of you want to be very technical. In other words, follow protocols, work in a lab, do your thing. That's okay. I find that there's a difference between being technical and scientific. Scientific, I think, involves a degree of strategy. You have to be able to interact with the leaders to be able to guide where you want to take things. Be a trained cynic, recognize what's good and bad, defend your science for the betterment of humanity. Everything to talk about the science, the GMOs, organic versus non-organic, the precautionary principle, things like that. You want to be able to know the science so you can talk about it, and try and be a good communicator at all levels. Do you want me to flip through these pictures?
We can take one question while you're flipping through some pictures.
I'll flip through them. Peru, Mexico. Have I lost weight? Brazil, Dubai, where we're working with a number of growers from Iran, because in Canada we're not allowed to travel to Iran, so the Iranians come to Dubai and we train them there. Wonderful people. India, tea growing area up along the Bhutan border. Bananas in Ecuador. This is in China. China again, southern China. Thailand, this is on rice. And durian, very stinky fruit. You don't want to take that on the bus. They'll kick you off the bus. These are banana, in vitro banana in Indonesia. And they grow it like corn. They transplant it and they grow it like corn. Now, it's not like Costa Rica or southern states. Australia, these are macadamia nuts, and I think it's sugarcane down in the bottom left. Jordan, and I'm just pretending to smoke that. I'm not really smoking anything. Turkey. Malaysia, we're looking at oil palm, which is all over Malaysia, big time crop. Morocco, we're looking at the melons, berries, citrus, bananas. Russia, we're looking at apples. We're also looking at the grapes over there because the Russians make terrible wine. So they brought in a bunch of folks from France to teach them how to make wine for the Olympics. Okay, and greenhouses over there. Belgium, where we're doing a lot of greenhouse work. And Australia, with the big nets over apples and citrus. That's it. Thank you very much.